Hello, and welcome to Conversations with Lee Fulkerson, a series of podcasts from Plant Pure Nation. I'm Lee Fulkerson, and my guest today is Karen Cunningham. She's the leader of a Plant Pure Nation pod in Terre Haute, Indiana, called Maple Center Group. They recently screened Plant Pure Nation, the film, at a small local theater, and close to 500 people attended. Karen, thank you for your time, and thank you for coming on.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
So tell us about the screening at PPN. That sounds like an amazing result.
Yes, it really truly was amazing. It was in February that we had the screening here in Terre Haute, and it was just a marvelous event in all aspects. We had a great turnout, as you said, close to 500 people. It was in a lovely old historic theater, which just made it a real blessing to be able to have it there. We didn't have to turn anybody away. The weather was wonderful. We were very grateful that Laura Dietrich, who was the Plant Pure Pod director at that time, she came along with her husband and her daughter. So it was a marvelous event.
What was the capacity of the theater? Was it full or?
Actually, it wasn't, but it's such an old theater that it actually holds about 1,000 people. So
That
was part of the benefit of it, because we built it as open and free and no registration. And so we said we really didn't think we were going to have to turn people away at 1,000 seats, but if we did, we'd still be excited. So we're about half full.
So it's like one of those older movie palaces, right? Like that they built in the 30s.
Oh, yeah, it's a gorgeous. Get online sometime and check it out. It's absolutely marvelous.
Yeah, I love those old theaters. I love Art Deco, you know, which is a lot of those theaters are made in that style. Anyway, so what's the population of Terre Haute, and why do you think so many people attended?
Well, the population of Terre Haute is just a little over 61,000. Vigo County is the Terre Haute is the seat for Vigo County, and that population is a little over 108,000. And then Wabash Valley includes a lot of surrounding counties also, and a lot of people came from these other counties. So it really, we really consider it attendance from Wabash Valley, which takes in some of Illinois and some of Indiana. We both sit on each side of the river. And we had a great turnout. I think three key components of that success was marketing. We really worked really hard, and we did a lot of things there. It was free. There was no cost. Nobody had to sign up. Nobody had to register. As I told people, it started at 1:30. I said, you can be driving down Ohio Street at 1:25, park your car, jump out, and run into the theater and be part of that screening. So it was very accommodating. And it was billed as community health and wellness, and that I think that was a super key point, in addition to being free, of course. But we were not doing it for any secondary agenda. We were not giving any favoritism or any special treatment to any local organization, including our Maple Center, that was really the basis for bringing the film, because we wanted it to be about bringing the mission of the lifestyle to the community. And I think that was really a lot of our success.
So tell me about specifically some of the marketing efforts you did and who organized them and so forth.
Well, I was hoping you would ask about that, because we're really proud of that. We don't, none of us are marketing specialists or anything, and we didn't have any of those, you know, professionals helping us. We just kind of started out. We started out with what I called the Plant Pure Nation Dream Team, and that was just four of us individuals. And we just sat down and just kind of brainstormed and said, well, here's what we could do. And in that brainstorming is always a creative process. When you get four heads, they're better than one. And we got free TV spots. We got free press releases in newspapers. And word of mouth was terrific. We had flyers distributed in person all over town, surrounding communities. We had a huge number of emails, went out to individuals and groups and businesses. We used social media. We used this group of four, solicited a lot of other volunteers to help us, and that enthusiasm, and it just became contagious. People almost were coming up to us saying, what can I do? I want to help. Hey, I want to share this with such and such. Have you got more flyers? We said, absolutely. So it was fun.
That's great. So what was the general reaction of the audience at the screening?
Well, it was a bit scary for me, because when it started out and everything, it was so quiet, as the cliche goes, you could hear a pin drop in the theater. And I just got this real nervous reaction thinking, oh my gosh, have we been too progressive for our local farming community? And I thought, well, we're into it now, you know, we'll just ride it out and see what happens. And at the end, everybody clapped. And there was a lot of conversation with people as they were leaving the theater. You heard them talking to each other and everything. And then quite a few people stayed for the question and answers afterwards. So I took a sigh of relief and said, wow, this was exciting, and it worked.
So you mentioned Terre Haute is a farming community. Is that the case? I mean, is it mainly farms all around? Is that one of the big industries in the area, so to speak?
Yes, it really is. We're in that good old Midwest farming belt, you know, meat and potatoes country. That's us. Yep.
Mm-hmm. You'd think that area would be resistant to an argument or this issue, but that doesn't seem to be the case. What do you attribute that to, if anything?
Well, there's resistance, of course, as there will be anywhere, but you know, I also find that a lot of times the grassroots, the middle class stuff, you know, they're kind of, they're out there, they want more information and all, but sometimes they don't always know where to turn, and sometimes they're not always sure that they can trust some of the information they get, especially
right.
with a lot of medical care. You know, we think that, you know, we want to think that our doctors are helping us and healthcare practitioners, and many of them are, and many of them are trying. But also, a lot of the things we've done in the past aren't working so good. As we know, diabetes is getting higher, you know, heart attacks are going up, and all. So I think they're just kind of a silent group out there that's waiting for us to provide better answers.
It seems like we're doing that, and you're a big part of that, so that's great. So of those who attended the screening, what percentage do you think already had some knowledge of a whole foods, plant-based diet, or the benefits of?
I think it's a tough question. I think it's a great question. But since I know there were a lot of people there that had been through some healthy lifestyle classes that our nonprofit offers, I would guess that there's probably about 25% of those that attended were already aware of a whole food, plant-based diet.
Mm-hmm. Well, that means 75% worse, which I think says a lot for your promotional efforts and also the curiosity of the public about this. Do you think you made any converts at the screening?
Well, it's kind of tough to say because we couldn't have a show of hands or anything, and that many people. And actually, we didn't ask the question, but and it would have been hard to know at that time too.
Yeah, of course.
So
yeah.
I think that we really did open people's eyes. I know from conversations afterwards that people shared that some things happened that they would have never dreamed. One lady told me that her husband, who had been very resistant, in fact, he purposely tries to sabotage her whole food plant-based diet. He brings her fast food home and it says things like, well, I paid good money for this. You're not going to eat part of this. I did this for you. And he actually said, well, that kind of makes sense. And he could relate to the rebirth of the small farms that was presented in the film because he's a farmer. So it touched him in ways that, you know, we might not have realized and stuff. And that's what's great about the film. It goes through so many different angles that a lot of people have an opportunity to think, aha, this makes sense to me.
Yeah, well, the small farming thing was a particular passion of Nelson's and Nelson Campbell, who wrote and directed the movie, and so I'm glad that issue resonated, and especially in your area where farming is such a big part of the activities of people in the community. Do you know, have any idea how many people at the screening had already adopted a plant-based diet?
I would guesstimate 50 to 75 people, and I can say that because I know that with the classes that we've done that have been whole food plant-based, and this was prior to even Plant Pure Nation being available, that we've had over 600 people go through our classes, and we have regular alumni meetings. And so I would be real comfortable saying probably 50 to 75 percent of, or 50 to 75 people that were there were following a whole food plant-based diet. Yeah. And I wanted to tell you, too, that in talking about how people responded and all, another individual that came to the screening also told me that as a result of that screening, he purposely drove to Michigan to an event where Nelson Campbell and some of the Plant Pure Nation folks were at to talk with Nelson and some of the others, because he has developed a healthy initiative that he's wanting to see our high school kids become involved and more aware of this. So he's really working hard on that. He's really excited, and he's asked us as the Maple Center if we would like to partner with some of that, and we're thrilled with that. Yeah. That all happened because of him coming to the film, yes.
Absolutely. That's tremendous. So tell me about the Q&A afterwards. What sort of questions were people getting, and who were the people on the panel answering?
Well, Laura Dietrich came from Plant Pure Nation, the Plant Pure Nation pod director, and her husband came with her and her daughter. And then Laura and I fielded the questions. And they were great questions. Some of them were more towards Plant Pure Nation, about more of what this is about, and how could I maybe get Jumpstart Food and those type of things, and how do I get more information. Some of them were more local questions that I answered. You know, again, people wanting to know what are the local resources. One of the things we shared was we have five or six community-supported agriculture groups around here, you know, where people can purchase the food ahead of time. I mean, they pay the farmer, and then every week
right.
they pick up fresh food and all. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people don't know that's available. And to have six of those available in our community is just outstanding. And that's a great opportunity, you know, because when you get something fresh off the farm, it's a lot different than even getting vegetables in the store. So we
it
had
sure
questions
is.
About that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. These local farmers markets are springing up everywhere. And it seems like that is something that is really taken hold, not just in rural communities, but also all across the nation. And it's really good to see, especially in inner city areas, in these so-called food deserts, where people really don't have any options to buy healthy food. I mean, all they have is, quickie marts or fast food restaurants, and there's no even supermarkets around in the local area. And a lot of these people have trouble with transportation, so they're kind of trapped. And it's something that you're seeing actually growing in those areas too, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
How many people were stayed for the Q&A?
I'd have to kind of just guess. Like I say, in that big theater, it's hard to tell,
yeah.
But. I would say probably 50 to 100. I would say, you know, close to a fourth of the number of people stayed. And there was another big local charity event going on that started at 4 o'clock that evening. So I know a lot of people had tickets for that, too, and because I talked to people and I said, you can come to the film and you can go straight to the other charity event and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So I know a lot of people had to leave, but I was pleased that many people stayed. And yeah, great question.
That's really good, a good percentage. So tell us a little about your pod in Terre Haute.
Well, the pod here was an outgrowth of some earlier programs, because the Maple Center, as I said, is a nonprofit organization, and it's part of our vision to provide optimal wellness for this area is called the Wabash Valley. And so we, many years ago, when the Maple Center first started, about 10, 12 years ago, it was always part of our mission to do this. But at that time, the Ornish program we were familiar with that, but we were talking at about probably $10,000 a person, and we knew that wasn't going to work. So
mm-hmm.
we looked around, and we found the CHIP program, which is the Complete Health Improvement Program. And it was, you know, plant-based and all, a great program. And we went with that for a few years. And then when that program changed, we kind of had a lot of experience under our belt. So we just reinvented things a little bit, pulled in some more resources, and we created the same sort of program, but we called it LEAF, which stands for Lifestyle, Education, and Food. And as a result of all that, then the people that go through those classes, then they became alumni. And so and we have an alumni group. And we meet every month, and we have a potluck carry-on, whole food, plant-based, great, and we have an educational component. And so we kind of had a ready-made pod when back in September of last year we first talked with Laura Dietrich and said, we want to be a pod. And when we explained our situation, she said, sure. So we were kind of a ready-made pod in that way. So that's been a lot of fun. And then having Plant Pure Nation as a way to have more resources and connections and all has just made everything that much better.
So tell me a little bit about your own background. How long have you been plant-based, and what did you do for a living and things like that?
I started totally plant-based in October 2009. That's when we went to take the training for how to teach the CHIP program. And it's kind of interesting because I went with a little bit of an attitude, because I thought, you know, I'm already eating really healthy and I'm doing lots of good healthy stuff. And so I thought, you know, I'm probably not going to learn a whole lot, but you know what the heck, it's not going to cost me very much and it would be fun. And yeah, I just, you know, I like to stick my nose in things. So I went, and I was totally converted because we had several meals while we were there. They were all whole food, plant-based, and they were absolutely delicious. So I had no desire to go back to any meat products. And I was eating, you know, quality meat. I was eating organic grass-fed, and I had not done dairy since 1989. But as a result of that, then I was amazed at changes I saw in myself. So, and my background is a physical therapist. I've been a physical therapist for 40 years. I've been retired almost a year. So I've been in the traditional allopathic world, and I've been in the integrative world.
So what kind of changes did you see in yourself?
Well, I was just really amazed. I didn't have any weight issues. But two things that happened was I had way more energy, which I have pretty good energy anyhow, and had way more. And what really was just amazing to me was the brain fog was gone. I mean, it was just gone. And, you know, I just could remember stuff easier. I could just track better. It wasn't like somebody would say something and I go dot, dot, dot and give them an answer. You know, it was right there. And I had no idea that would happen. And I know it had to be the change in diet, because that's the only thing that I changed.
Well, okay, what was sort of the reaction of your colleagues in your profession and in the clinic or setting that you worked when you did this?
They just kind of tolerated me because, as I said, I had been on a healthy spectrum for quite some time. And this just kicked it up several notches. So I just tried to share when I would think a window was open, as opposed to kind of wear it on my coat sleeve and preach at them, because they're pretty much in the standard American diet and all. But they've been curious. And over the years I was in the clinic during this time, even my boss would say, "Oh, I don't know, go ask Karen about that food thing." And stuff and something like that. So that was a compliment from my boss. That was meaning if he was giving me permission to talk about it while I was on his dime, then I knew that was a forward thing. So, yeah, and we'd have carry-ins. I'd take good food. And most of the time they would sample them, and they were asking me for recipes. So I was excited about that.
That's great. I like him calling it the food thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That food thing.
Yeah.
So what about the reaction of your family?
Well, again, they kind of tolerated me. They are not too interested personally in making significant changes, although my sister-in-law and my niece both have diabetes. My niece is only just in her 30s, and she's actually on insulin injections. She's a nurse practitioner. So they have reasons to be interested, but it's just not where they're at right now. But they're fine with me when we have family gatherings. I just take food that I know I'll eat. And most of the time, they'll try it. And again, in that setting, they are asking me for recipes. So I know that's a forward thing. Yeah.
Are you married, and what is your husband's reaction?
Yeah, I am married, and my husband is very tolerant. I kind of use that word a lot, don't I? But he's a real good guy, and people will say to me all the time, well, does your husband eat like this? And I'll say, well, when we're at home, he does, and that's because that's the only way we cook. We don't have any dairy. We don't have any meat in the house, so it's not an option unless he wants to get in the car and drive 15 minutes to town. He doesn't really want to do that. So he's fine with it at home. He eats good. He eats the stuff. He likes most of the stuff I fix. When we go out, he eats pretty traditional, but he still eats better than he used to. And he's lost weight. I can tell he feels better. He has some back problems. Those are much better than what they were. So it's exciting to see, even though he's not jumped in with both feet, he still sees changes from doing this.
Has he admitted to seeing the changes, or is he sort of like not copping to it?
On a good day when he's kind of open and I can word it right, he might say, you know, yeah, I think this made a difference. But, you know, no, he's not real open. He's kind of an introvert anyhow. That's probably why we get along, because I'm not. And so he doesn't really speak about it. But, yeah, you know, there's telltale signs, absolutely, yeah. And the fact he's lost about 20, 25 pounds, that's great. And his blood work looks good. His total cholesterol is better than mine. But I have to tell you, his is really low, so. Yeah.
Well, you know what? He can't deny stuff like that. So, you know,
right.
My sense is that he knows it, but he might not just want to cop to it 100%. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
So in terms of, like, miraculous reversals and things like that, what sort of things have you seen that stand out to you among people in your pod or other people you come across that have adopted this diet?
We've seen so many of them. It's so exciting. One lady that always comes to mind, she was in her late 70s when she took our healthy lifestyle class, again, prior to having Plant Pure Nation. But when I say that, it's all the same thing, you know, the same message we're trying to spread. And she had a total cholesterol drop of over 100 points. And
wow.
This was a lady that she didn't incorporate any exercise because she really couldn't in her 20s. She had a severe stroke and some other neurological issues. So she had a lot of mobility problems. She could barely get around. So just by adopting the lifestyle with the nutrition part, she saw this major change in her cholesterol. So that was, I mean, you know, the proof is in the pudding, right? The tofu pudding, you know?
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Yeah,
we see people. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, you go ahead. You got any other stories? I'd love to hear them.
Yeah, we've seen people reverse the diabetes in our classes. We do health screens before and after, and we do blood work, and we do blood pressure and other metrics. And we've seen people that were pre-diabetic at the beginning of the class, and of course some people full diabetes, and then at the end of the class, almost all those with prediabetes went back into the normal range, and other people with their diabetes saw their insulin needs drop. One fella that is actually on our leadership team, he was on, it was 5 or 7 medications for diabetes, and after he took the first class, over a period of a few months, he was able to drop it down to 1 or 2, and I believe now he's off all of them. And he likes to say, and this is a gentleman in his late 70s, he likes to say, and I'm now back to my high school football playing weight. And he smiles, and we smile back at him, yeah.
That's great. What about the age range that you've seen in participating?
Yeah, our ages range from, you know, 40-ish to 75, 80. We really, probably the majority run at about 50 to 65. We've had as young as 18 or 20, and we've had as old as 90. Yeah, but we got really that middle-aged range is where most people come from.
That seems to be typical because that seems to be the age range where people start to suffer from these chronic conditions, you know, and that are not very well handled by traditional medical practice, things like, you know, type 2 diabetes and high cholesterol and things of that nature. Have you found that to be the case among your people?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's an awakening time, because that time of life, I mean, I'm 63, so, you know, a lot of us start thinking, how do I want to play out the rest of this life, you know? And do I really want to be like Grandpa that, you know, spent the last 10 years of his life without his leg because of diabetes, you know, or, you know, my dad that had 3 heart attacks, whatever. So I think people are starting to kind of come alive in a good way, you know, and think about quality of life. You know, I mean, longevity is a nice thing, but main thing is to be happy and healthy and have fun whatever time we got left.
Absolutely. I mean, the worst thing to see is people in declining age just really deteriorating and their quality of life going out the window. It's tragic to see that. And I think this diet can help a lot of that. So what are sort of the challenges you face in operating your thought?
Some of the challenges with our is just that, like I said, we already had a homemade group of individuals with our alumni program, and then when we got to officially be a pod, then we just are trying to blend those two together, and it's just trying to kind of get that message out and coordinate everything, and then to reach out to more people in the community and say, hey, because eventually our goal is to not really think about it as a previous alumni program, but to think about it as the Plant Pure Nation pod, and that will be all-encompassing, and we'll move forward from there. And that will happen. That just takes some time. I'm sure you understand time, energy, and money getting it done. Yeah.
You bet. You've described being part of Plant Pure Nation as a win-win situation for you. How and why is that?
Well, I think that's because, well, I don't think, I know it's because, it's all about the mission. I just say this over and over to people, and the power of the grassroots movement. Plant Pure Nation and the Maple Center and our LEAF program, we all share the common mission of wanting to share about the value and importance of a whole food plant-based diet. And locally, the Maple Center and the LEAF program, we can, and it's a wonderful grassroots vehicle that's making this happen in our community. Plant Pure Nation provides us with wonderful materials and ideas and support that helps us to continue to be successful, while at the same time, we're helping to spread that overall common mission. And so by being part of Plant Pure Nation, that gives us an affiliation with this organization. You know, it's bigger, has more resources, and also has international involvement. So that kind of helps to get our name and our word out in our community while we're still spreading the whole mission, the whole grassroots movement. And I like to say, so I kind of have this summarized in a soundbite, and I like to say our local small grassroots movement joins the Plant Pure Nation larger grassroots movement, and the wheels just keep on turning.
Well, that's the idea, and that's certainly the strategy behind the whole thing. And so it's really gratifying to hear that it's working. What do you think is the acceptance now of this idea as opposed to 5 years ago, 10 years ago?
Yeah, I think even in the last 5 years, I think there's been a huge change in awareness. And I think that's the key, is that people have to first be aware of it. And like I say, that was a great thing about the film. I don't want to stop there, but that was a real initiator. And so we want to continue to build on that, because really until people are aware of their choices and their options and stuff, it's really hard for people to make changes, because we're all kind of like, you know, gerbils on a wheel and just kind of keep doing the same thing over and over. But when you start, you know, when somebody says, hey, have you tried this? And, you know, that whole word of mouth thing, like going back to my husband, you know, I could do all this kind of preaching at home and he'd just kind of turn a deaf ear. But when he goes down to the local restaurant with the boys and has breakfast, and one of them says, hey, yeah, my wife's doing that food thing, you know, and, you know, she's lost 30 pounds. Well, you know, it has a lot more impact, and he listens. And I think that's pretty typical of a lot of people and stuff. So the important thing is that the word gets out there. You know, I think wearing it on our coat sleeves doesn't work. I think we just have to wait for those windows of opportunity. And so I just think the overall acceptance and the awareness is getting just so much greater. It's really much greater than I thought it might ever be in our community. And I'm an optimistic person, but, yeah, it's been a tough nut to crack, but Yeah, I no longer think we're swimming upstream. As Laura Dietrich said, I think we're riding the wave.
That's a good way to put it. Where do you see this idea in like 5 years? Do you think this is really the wave of the future? And do you think it's really going to catch on with mainstream?
Oh, I absolutely do. I am just thrilled to pieces to be a whole part of this and everything, because I think we'll see so much more change, quantity and quality, in the next 5 years than what we've seen in many years before this. I think it's catching on enough now that it will be somewhat like a snowball going downhill.
Right.
At least to some extent. I think we're really at that point. I'm just thrilled. And to be able to say that in our own community, where, like I said, there's been resistance. And, you know, it's not easy street. It's not like I'm going to walk out into the community and everybody's going to say, oh, yeah, we're all going to do it. But, boy, there's a desire, yeah.
What about younger people? How do you see this idea working with them, high school and so forth?
Yeah, the fellow that I mentioned that went to the came to our screening and then went to Michigan, talked with the Campbells and others of you there and all. He has that initiative that, you know, he wants to get into the school systems, the high school, and offer some different opportunities for the kids, which we're thrilled about because our programs have all been targeted, for the most part, towards adults and all. It's not that we don't think kids are important. We do. We think the prevention aspect is crucial. It's just, again, we have a limited number of people and time and energy to get everything done. And also trying to get into those doors that have to open. This individual has talked with the superintendent of our local schools. He's talked with some successful restaurant owners. He's talked with some chefs. And he's asked us as an organization, hey, would you want to be part of this? And we said, absolutely. So that's an avenue we're excited about. Another thing that we've been doing quite a bit in the last 2 or 3 years is we have a university here called Indiana State University, and it has part of a medical school. And so a couple of the professors in that medical school are really behind this. And so they have asked us to do many presentations, and we went to their nutrition workshop day. And so they've got students now that are asking for lifestyle medicine because that's how they want to practice. They don't want to start out with all the drugs and everything as the only option. They want to be able to offer nutrition.
That is really, I think, promising. You know, that's one of the big bottlenecks, I think, in this whole thing, is that traditional MDs don't learn much about nutrition in medical school, and it's really about pills and procedures for them and treating symptoms as opposed to underlying causes and all that sort of stuff, which has been said many times before. But it's really heartening to me to hear that medical schools and medical students are beginning to awaken to this idea. I know that Dr. Campbell himself, Dr. Colin Campbell, who was, you know, sort of one of the founders of this whole thing in the modern era, is doing many presentations now at medical schools. And Nelson Campbell, Plant Pure Nation, has now formed a partnership, strategic partnership with a big healthcare provider in Florida, which is like the fourth biggest healthcare provider in the country. It's got like $1.5 billion or something in revenue. And I think that's huge. So that's really encouraging. So is there anything else you want to add? Any sort of like final word or hope for the future or anything like that, that you want to put an exclamation point on the end of this?
Thanks for that opportunity. Thanks for this opportunity and all your help and everything that Plant Pure Nation is doing. It's just marvelous. I just think that it's so exciting that I think if I'd sum it up in one word, it would be hope, that we actually have hope to offer to people now. I say traditionally in the past, it was just a given that you're going to have heart disease because daddy and granddaddy had it, and you're probably going to die of a heart attack and stuff and everything, or you're going to have diabetes, and that's just the way it is. But we know now that our genes are not necessarily the whole story. They're only part of the story, and we can do things about that even. And we can, you know, share with people that you don't have to go the way your father or your mother or anything went and all that. You know, you've got hope for different options, and you have power and control with your choices. So I just think that's just exciting. That gives me goosebumps every time I think about it.
Me too. So anyway, I thank you for your time and your enthusiasm and your efforts. And I definitely want to check in with you in a few months, because I want to see how things develop. Things are seem to be, you know, starting very well there. And I'd kind of like to check in with you later, if that's all right.
Oh, that would be delightful. I would appreciate that and look forward to it. Yes, thank you so very much.
Well, thank you for being on, and thanks for your time again.
All righty, you're welcome.